It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. We've got plenty of Bills news, a new defensive lineman, a suspension for Von Miller, and Davante Adams preferring a trade out of Las Vegas. Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Media day of Sunday, 1 o'clock game, so a regular game week for everyone. I know that's good news for you, as well as the Bills head to Houston. Let's start with the Von Miller news, Sal. The suspension that when it was announced, it's the NFL. I didn't know this to be true or not. They didn't announce right away what the suspension was for, right? And it seemed to be a bit of connecting dots. Like this stems from the incident in last fall, almost a year ago. So when it comes to the Miller news and what this is, you know, people are asking questions about the process the NFL takes. We expected Rashee Rice to get suspended because the league will suspend players even in circumstances when charges are not brought against them or charges are dropped. The league is not, I guess it's not rare for the league to do something like this.
No, not at all. The league does their own investigation on a lot of different things. And if they feel that you violated their own personal conduct policies, then there'll be a suspension. It is not uncommon for these suspensions to happen over a year after an incident. This particular suspension, as you pointed out, we don't have the official information as to why or for what it stemmed from. However, I mean, guys, unless there was something that was so far under the radar that no one knew anything about in addition to what happened in November of 2023, I would have to also say that it's got to stem from that. I mean, it's not, the Bills have not officially said that. The NFL has not officially said that. We don't know that for sure, but it just makes too much sense. I mean, there's been nothing else that we know of that's been reported anywhere that's happened since 2023 and when he was arrested. So I think it's logical to connect those dots like a lot of people are doing. So we'll have to kind of assume that for now, but it is an assumption, just so everybody's clear. That being said, yeah, I think about the Rashee Rice thing as well. And I see it and people say, well, here's Rashee Rice and what he did. And he's still, you know, he obviously is injured right now, but he's still out there playing football. And my thought is, well, I guess that would mean that maybe next year he would be suspended once they conclude their investigation. The NFL, the Bills, the league, they usually wait for the legal process to play out as long as possible and then make some sort of determination with their own investigation about the personal conduct policy. So we'll see. So I guess it's a very long way of just saying that we're still finding out, you know, to make sure that this is about what happened in November of 2023, but I just can't see it being about anything else at this point.
Yeah, Von played last year, right past this. Of course, he came back from the injury, he played. So anyone wondering, like, why does it take this long? It's the same, it's not that different from Rice in Kansas City, who was playing, and many speculated it would happen later this year or next year. Sal, when these allegations came out against Miller and the Bills were asked about it, was there any sort of conversation about we let the league take the lead on this, or any conversation about because the team could decide to act? And if we go back to Matt Araiza with the Bills, I mean, he was cut because of the allegations against him. Has since been, I mean, whatever version of,
well, that's the only way they can act. That's the way they can act is by releasing. Like, the league is not going to have, the team is not going to have their own violation of the personal conduct policy. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, the way the team would act is if they were to release somebody. But yes, the team has been very consistent since this happened to let the legal process play out and let the law enforcement and the league kind of take the lead on everything that's happening here. So, and then Von, charges were ultimately dropped. And Javon was actually asked about this offseason, and he really only said, hey, charges were dropped and, you know, moving forward here. And there was nothing there. So I don't know if, you know, like, to me, it kind of came out of the blue, but at the same time, there was a lot of question about why he reworked his contract. And when that happened, there was a lot of speculation that maybe the Von and the Bills knew that something could wind up happening this year. That was never confirmed or anything, but a lot of people speculated that was the case as well. So there was always something lingering under there, I guess I'd say, that there was a possibility. And then yesterday it kind of came out, like, and you're like, wait a minute, what happened here? But I think you connect all of those breadcrumbs back that way.
Yeah, I think I saw the contract thing, Sal, that he maybe he knew this was coming or thought it could be coming, and that might have helped him renegotiate the contract, because he went from last year, the way last year's deal was worked, he would have lost $5 million the way the suspension happened, versus now I think it's like $300,000.
Right, and overall, though, it was, I think, less money the Bills had to pay out, a pay cut. Remember, that was the talk of it, a pay cut. So, yeah, I think when that happened, there was some underlying, hey, is this something that could be related to maybe a suspension down the road, and people speculating. So, you know, we haven't heard from Brandon Bean yet. We don't know all of that. So if and when we do about all this, I'm sure that that will be asked. In the meantime, the Bills will be without Von Miller for the next four games.
Yeah, and like I said, not to make light of the situation, because you can the affidavits out there, like, the details are pretty gross if they are indeed true from what Von did last November. But now going forward, Sal, like, replacing him on the field, how equipped do you think they are to replacing him as a pass rusher? It is interesting, too, that, like, we're coming off a game where he only played 9 snaps. I think the matchup probably dictated that, so coming off a game where he wasn't really involved that much, but otherwise he had been making a significant impact on the field.
Yeah, I thought he was playing some pretty good football, and he had a sack in each of the first three games, but he wasn't on the field a ton. And then, as you pointed out, Joe, really over the last, last game, overall, I'm looking at snap counts here, 35% on the season. I just want to go game by game here. He went from 47 to 38 to 36 to 15. He was only on the field for 9 snaps. Is it possible? I mean, look, this came down on a Tuesday. I'm sure that, like, is it possible that all of a sudden the Bills were told on Monday night? Sure. Also, they could maybe have been aware that this could be happening, and maybe that's why. Maybe they wanted to start kind of preparing and getting, guys ready and getting some reps for other guys. But the score also was kind of out of hand, right? So at what point is Von, at his age, making an impact in a game like that? So there's a lot of things you could kind of look at that and just kind of have your own, kind of judgments about how that went down. To answer your question, Joe, about how equipped they are, well, with Juwan Smoot back, it helps a lot, obviously, because he's a guy that fits into the rotation. Casey Tuhill, I think, has played some pretty good football. Greg Rousseau, AJ Epinesa are pretty much your starters here, I think, on a regular basis, although there will be a rotation. And Javon Solomon's come in and played pretty well at times. Now, they did sign another defensive lineman, Zion Logue, from the Atlanta Falcons. He's a defensive tackle, so with Von on the suspension list, that gives them 10 defensive linemen, 5 listed as edge rushers, 5 listed as defensive tackles.
That was my next question. Okay, so no roster move is necessary because of Von's suspension.
Correct.
So Zion Logue is a 6th-round pick this year. So the Bills are adding, and he goes right to the active roster, Sal. Is there a rule about how long he has to be on the active roster?
4 weeks.
Okay.
Or 3 weeks. I have to go back and look. I think it might be 3 weeks, actually. But he's guaranteed 3 game checks. So he has to, they have to pay him for 3 weeks. Once you do that, that's part of the reason why teams just, you can't just, it's to protect teams from just saying, oh, we just want a guy for 1 week from your practice squad.
Yeah.
Well, if you do that, you got to put him on your 53, and you got to guarantee him 3 game checks, 3 weeks. And if you do, you can move on from him, but I believe his spot has to count on your roster for all 3 weeks. So, like, you could physically say, like, we're terminating your contract for whatever reason, but I believe that that spot on the roster still counts. So 3 weeks is the minimum he has to be with the Buffalo Bills in that capacity. So 3 weeks for his roster spot to actually be taken up by him in some capacity.
What about for this week with that matchup? Not having Von and the defensive line getting a pass rush against C.J. Stroud. Do you feel like they're going to be that's going to be tested right away? Because the Texans are definitely a team that has been dropping back almost as anybody in the league.
Sure, I mean, no doubt about it. This is a different matchup though than last week, right? I mean, like, yeah, they'll want to run the ball. We'll see about Joe Mixon. That's a big one for them this week. He didn't play again last week. This is not the Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson offense, but this is a very good offense with a quarterback that I think is really, really good, who's very young. But they're not going to come at you the way the Ravens are. So I think that, you know, the Ravens can keep you off balance a little bit, a lot. You know, you have to, obviously they come up with that big run early in the game, and that even makes it more so to kind of be on your heels a little bit. This is a team that is going to want to throw the ball, but the Bills are better equipped here in this matchup than they were against the Ravens in that matchup, just considering how different the Ravens are compared to everyone else. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, you got to make plays, but I don't think it's the same thing as last week.
803-0550. If you want to get a call in with Sal, we can bring in Jimmy in Miami is going to jump in for a minute. Hey, Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, guys. You know, this season seems to be, and I know it's only the fourth game, and people are panicking, and I'm not panicking yet, but it's like a movie you saw once before, and you're watching this movie, and all of a sudden, after about a half hour, you think, gee, I think I saw this movie already. But it just seems like it's suspiciously shaping up a lot like the last two seasons, where our receiving core has just struggled to get open, create separation. And when we come up against a tough team with a good defense and that has firepower, we can't go toe-to-toe with these guys and keep up. And if they score 28 points, we have to score 30. If they score 34, we got to score 35, and we just can't seem to do it. And I know the phrase, everyone eats, is kind of cute and stuff like that, but we really don't have the receiving core right now that is we don't have anyone in our receiving core, a number one guy that's keeping defensive coordinators up at night. If you just give me one other point to make, if you look back in the draft in 2020, in 2020, the Bills drafted Greg Rousseau in the first round. And then we drafted Boogie Basham in round two. Well, I mean, the Basham draft was a waste. I mean, it was a big whiff. In that same round, in that same draft, Nico Collins was available in the third round, and Amon-Ra St. Brown was available in the fourth round, and neither of those guys were on the Bills' radar. And then the following year, in 21, they go defense.
Hold on, 21 was that draft, by the way. They drafted Greg Rousseau in 2021, not 2020.
Yeah, and Jimmy, thanks. I'm going to jump in and pick up on this point because this does lead us in a direction we want to go. Sal, all right, so he said a couple different things there. The idea of the seeing the movie before. I kind of jumped on a Field Yates tweet yesterday, a little bit of snark. But
I saw it.
But all I was saying was, like, I don't think people are freaking out about a loss to Baltimore. I think it's a lot of what Jimmy said there, which is it's early. And I'm not one that is panicked right now. I think the receiving room has plenty of room for growth from Keon Coleman, from Curtis Samuel as well. I mean, Samuel being a part of this offense seems important. I mean, Matt Collins, MBS, there might be some big time limitations there, but I think there's definitely room for growth in the Bills pass catching core. And, you know, Dalton Kincaid too, for not for nothing. Like, they can get him more involved. I think what Jimmy's point is that whether it's that we are here again wondering about their pass catchers. You know, is Devontae Adams something that they should think about? Because we've had this conversation 1,000 times, whether it's Beckham or DeAndre Hopkins, and we're right back here after four games. I don't think it's the loss. I think it's just the same conversation that's kind of lingered for a while. And that's why he brings up, like, you know, Basham and all that hindsight. I think there's a lot of context there.
Sure. I mean, like, we could do this all the time, right? Well, they should have drafted this guy. They should have drafted that guy. It happens every year. With every team, by the way. Like, it's just, you don't know who's going to be the best players in the end. You do your best job. So we could do this all the time. Gabe Davis was a good player for them for 4 years. They got him in the fourth round in that 2020 draft. He's one of the better fourth round wide receivers over the last many years, actually, to be quite honest with you. Greg Rousseau has turned out to be a really good player at an important position for them. I'd love to have Amon-Ra St. Brown on this team. There's no doubt. We could do that about a lot of things. I do want to point out, I mean, I know last week did not go well. There's no doubt. There's no hiding from that. They are still the second highest scoring team in the NFL at 30.5 points a game. That's what they're averaging. Yes, I mean, if the other team scores 25, you got to score 26. If the other team scores 9, you got to score 10, right? Like the Denver Broncos did last week. There's no doubt about that from the call. That's what it is. You got to score more points, whatever it is. I think last week really, really shook a lot of people because of how tough it was for them to move the ball, how tough it was for them to score. And you don't hide from that, and there's no doubt. And it showed, and I'm sure it won Bill's drive. It even made them kind of go, okay, what do we need here? What do we got to do? I also think that sometimes, you know, you can have a massive overreaction to that, whatever game it is. And you have to be very careful about not having a massive overreaction to that. So it was one game that, you know, did not go well in a lot of different ways. I think you have to be very careful in a 17-game season with any team, whether they're Buffalo Bills. Again, I try to tell people all the time, look around the league. No roster is perfect. The Bills had a bad game. Everybody, like, there's only one undefeated team, right? Is it one now? Is the Chiefs, right? They're the only one remaining.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Thank you. They're looking really good, too, by the way. But I mean, like, you know, it's 3-1, 30.5 points a game. One game was very bad. There's no doubt about that. I think you have to be careful about having massive overreactions to one game. Now, the trick you can have is if you don't have some sort of reaction, then you could drop another one, and you're like, why didn't you address it? There's no doubt about that. I get it, but I don't think that necessarily you have to all of a sudden change a whole bunch of things about your philosophy or your roster because of Sunday night.
Yeah, I think the philosophy they're in right now, this is, I mean, Bean has called it a transition year. That's the big $64,000 question, Sal, is if they get off to a good enough start, let's say they beat Houston, they beat the Jets, they're 7-1, and the Chiefs look vulnerable because they don't have any receivers, you know,
And
the division stinks. Like, could they all of a sudden say, like, yeah, it's a transition year, I'm not going to mortgage the whole future, but maybe I should push in a little bit where I can, because, you know, as everybody says, hey, if you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And no doubt Brandon Bean would think that as well. You know, I wonder if how the season goes, you know, we could say it from a need standpoint, or we could say it from a, hey, we think we have a better chance to win it because of how the board has fallen. And we might want to go in a little bit more. We point out they did this with Kelvin Benjamin, that trade in the year they broke.
A great example.
They broke the drought. It was a team that was rebuilding, yeah, and they went out and spent a third-round pick to get a guy.
Do you think, I mean, I don't know this, you know, without asking him, but I would assume maybe the Bills did not expect to be making a trade for Kelvin Benjamin when that season started. But right, what I do remember about that season was when they traded Sammy Watkins and they traded Ronald Darby, and everybody said, they're tanking. The Bills kept saying, we're not tanking, we're going to be competitive. Like, that's our goal. But it's a transition. That was a transition. I don't know if they used that word. That was a massive transition year. But the transition wasn't to be bad. The transition was to be competitive in a different way with a different roster. And I think that that's what Brandon Bean meant when, I think it was with you guys, right? When he was on with you, yeah, he said it, yep, to be honest with you. When he was at training camp, he said, it's a transition year. Transition can be taken a lot of ways. Some people took that as meaning, oh, transition, step back. I think it meant more like in 2017, hey, we're still going to be competitive. It's just going to look a lot different than what a lot of people thought it would look like. And then once they got off to a nice start, they said, oh, you know what? We're actually in this thing. Let's go trade for Kelvin Benjamin. Well, maybe even for the Bills this year, you know, look, new information has you thinking different ways. Yep. I say all the time, people, you know, the old takes exposed is fun, right? We all like old takes exposed. I interviewed the guy that actually runs it. It's really funny. But what happens on Old Takes Exposed is people find opinions that you had maybe 3-4 years ago and say, oh my God, you were, and laugh at you. And maybe that person says, well, wait a minute, I did think that. And then I watched and I learned and opinion changed. It's okay. Changing your opinion is a healthy, good thing.
That's right.
You don't have to have the same opinion all the time about everything. If you think Josh Allen stunk coming out of the draft and he's going to be horrible, and then you watched him for 2 years and you said, you know what? I was wrong about that, and I think he's really good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've said a million times, like, I'm not sorry I was wrong. I was wrong about Allen in college. What do I have to apologize for, you know? So
in this case, I'm saying, like, maybe the Bills went into this year thinking, okay, transition year, we're going to be competitive, let's see how it goes. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, the Jets, look at the Dolphins, look at the Jets, look at the Patriots, and the conference is down compared to what a lot of people thought. Maybe we can actually even have more of an opportunity to strike and do something here to take advantage of all this, when maybe they didn't think about that earlier.
There's also, Sal, you know, we like to use the phrase confirming your priors. If you're someone that thought the receiving core was missing some pieces. A loss to Baltimore might have your antenna up. And if you're someone that thought the Bills can't stop the run, guess what? Your antenna are up. You know, you want to see more help at defensive tackle, or you want to see safety be replaced, because right now at safety there are some major concerns about what they're doing. So, you know, a loss, I don't think it's people freaking out about a loss. I think it's people that key in on maybe weaker spots on the roster that have been exposed. Last year, they made the trade for Rasul Douglas, and that's a great deadline trade. And what brought that about? Injury, right? It was a need. Hey, we have a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl here. We lost our top corner. We've got to go get one, because without Rasul Douglas last year, they're probably in a heap of trouble, even though they ultimately did go out in the same spot. You know, that Douglas trade, looking back, you got a year and a half of a top-level cornerback.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously you're leading up to a little bit about Davante Adams here in this context.
Yes,
and he's a fascinating player to me for this, because I think he's so good. He's also 31, about to be 32 years old. And the Bills have kind of intentionally gone to a transition of getting a little bit younger and not going with a, you know, true number one receiver. As the caller did correctly point out, the things that, you know, I disagree with the caller, he was right that, like, you know, there's this, everybody eats is great. But what happens when you really need someone to eat and you got to find your guy that's going to really eat and do a great job against the defense and at a critical third and six in the fourth quarter, who are you going to? And man, that's a Davante Adams, right? That's a Stephon Diggs. And my question has been all along, who is that guy? If that happens, is that Dalton Kincaid? I don't know who that guy
is.
Davante Adams, if he's on the team, by the way. But again, 32 years old. And they've kind of gone away from that. So I just think it's a fascinating discussion.
Yeah, and it probably won't end anytime soon. I mean, he's asked for a trade. I want to ask you about Kincaid before we go, Sal, because I had Joe look into this for me, because I don't think anybody is disappointed with Kincaid as a player, but maybe usage. I mean, he did not get a lot of usage early last year, and here we are into this year. You know, week one, he gets focused on. Like, he gets a lot of attention. Do you feel like the Bills should still be looking to do more with him?
I think the answer is yes, but I think what's happening here partly is when you do have an everybody eats mentality, you know, we've always, how about, you know, this has happened before where we've said, is there enough footballs to go around, right? When you have a whole bunch of guys that are really good and you say there's enough footballs to go around, are there enough snap counts to go around? It's great to have everybody eats and everybody plays, but if you're going to do that and you want to have all these different guys getting on the field, I think you can kind of get lost in the, well, we're so focused on that that, you know, there's some really good players here that we got to make sure are on the field. Curtis Samuel is this for me. And Joe Brady said on Monday in a Zoom call with us, he was asked specifically about Curtis Samuel. I know your question's about Kincaid, but it's the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Which is, he said he's got to do a better job of getting the ball in his hands and basically said he's got to do a better job of getting him on the field in order to make that happen. Like, when you have all these different guys, you can only put five eligible, you know, guys on the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, who's it going to be? And if you're always talking about everybody eats, well, there's only a certain number of snap counts. So, at some point, you have to make a decision, if this is happening, I think, to reduce who that is. And you texted me about MVS last week, because he was actually on the field more than I thought he was, right? At the end of the day, they just didn't use him. But again, like, I mean, there might have to be a moment where Joe Brady says, it's great that everybody eats, but this week this guy can't eat because I need this other guy in the field a lot. You know what I mean? Like, that might have to happen.
For Samuel, it's funny. Like, Samuel, his career in Carolina, his depth of target was 12, 14, and 7. And in the last 2 years in Washington, it was 6.5 yards average depth of target. And this year it's 3.7. Like, he had one other season, a shortened season, that was low. But, I mean, Samuel, I think, Sal, the idea has to be that he's not just your behind-the-line-of-scrimmage kind of guy.
I mean, I would hope not. I think he's a legit wide receiver. I mean, is he a Davante Adams or Stephon Diggs? No. He can do a lot of things, though. And, I mean, you know, this stuff about putting him, you know, gadgets and all that, that's great because he does create matchups and problems when you do that. But I also think you can line him up on the outside and he can win. Like, maybe not on a every down basis all the time, but yeah, I think that can happen. I'm looking at average length of reception. Keon Coleman leads the Bills. Keon Coleman is eighth in the NFL. His average on all the passes he's caught, his average length, this is not average yards per reception, it's average length of the air that it travels.
Area, average 13, air yards, yeah.
Air of air yards on just his catches, not his targets. You know what I mean, Joe?
Yeah.
13.13 is eighth in the NFL. You have to scroll all the way down to Khalil Shakir at 88th is the next, 4.94.
Yeah. Set up the week for us. Like, injured guys we've kind of been through. Is Shakir someone to monitor this week, too?
Yeah.
Because he obviously had his ankle heavily taped on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think he was quite right after that, the rest of the game. It was tough for him. I mean, he toughed it out. We know he's a really tough dude, right? We see it every week from him. But it's certainly something, and, you know, Sean McDermott said he fought through it. They said they'll take it day to day, day by day, which is encouraging, which to me, like, okay, you'll probably, maybe today he doesn't practice or he's limited. We'll see. We get out there. McDermott at noon today, we'll have more clarity on these things. 12:30 p.m. is practice. Terrell Bernard is expected to practice this week again like he did last week at some capacity. I think the big one we're monitoring here is Taron Johnson. Does Taron Johnson practice this week or not? Does that lend itself to trending towards playing this week, or is it yet another week before he comes back, maybe against the Jets, where you'll have another 8 days because they play on Monday night next week? And then Taylor Rapp, obviously, in concussion protocol. And, you know, it doesn't mean he can't practice, but because there are certain steps, he could be out there. But we'll obviously monitor all that.
Very good. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio. We went very late. Sorry about that. 803-0550, our number. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast next.